Blog Talk Radio.
The laws there are based on a blend or a mix
of Dutch, English, and I guess native African, what has evolved to be their law. It's quite interesting. A judge decides in this criminal case. Now, Pistorius is convicted of murder, homicide. He can only appeal that decision. There's new evidence. This is the way I understand the current South African law. I've only done two murder cases as a legal researcher and investigator, too direct than others. And you can go into my biography another day. Anyway, what's interesting is this. Now you see two people. She's dressed in red, and with the wig. I don't think she's wearing a wig, but anyway, this is the garb of the old English courts. Now you see two people sitting on either side of her, one on each side. These are not lawyers. These are known as advisors, and these are people who are specialists in various fields. Like if this was a maritime case, you'd have a maritime expert there, and their reason they're there is to advise the judge on various points. So this is, it's quite an interesting system. I will be following more of this because it's really interesting. Now, Mandela, the Saint Nelson there, a lot of controversy about him. He did study law, and of course he was accused of treason, but they sentenced him to 25 years on Robots Island, which was an isolated place in off of the mainland of South Africa. But it's really fascinating to watch a black woman judge try a white South African. I don't know if Pistorius is Catholic or Anglican or what, or maybe Dutch Reform, which is their religion. Now, if you're watching some of the American news reports on this case, there's a guy named Matt Gutman. Gutman is a controversial news reporter who was involved in the Trayvon Martin case, a lot of controversies about stuff that he reported. So Jack Cashel wrote in Cashel's most recent book. He writes a book a year ago called If I Had a Son. So I'd recommend, if you're interested, get that book. Now, among the public policy questions, we hear the great war cry, we need more affordable housing for people who are being forced out or can't rent in Northern California, especially San Francisco. Billions of dollars have come into California from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And, of course, we have been exposing the non-accountability, the scandals of murder, sexual predators, extortion. They went on in San Francisco housing authority, the worst in the United States. Public policy question is this. Should the local housing administrators who receive and administer federal housing funds and have allowed public and affordable housing become slum projects, should these administrators be required to live in these federally funded projects until they fully rehabilitate projects? Now, when Jane Byrne, who's the first woman and only woman to become mayor of Chicago, that's an interesting story in itself, the housing projects in Chicago were so bad, there were two of them, Robert Taylor Homes, which is connected to one of Obama's advisors, and the other one is Cabrini Green on the north side. Now, Jane Byrne moved into Cabrini Green, but she had to get a police protection. So bad. She didn't stay there very long. But it was an interesting political example. Maybe we should require mayors and the administrators of local public housing authority administrations, these people who get federal funds, to live in the project that they administer and allow to become slum projects. It's a public policy question. This is the opening week of the San Francisco Dodgers, but not mentioned in the press is the only man, the man who, and the mayor and the civic statesman who lured the Giants to San Francisco. They were called the New York Giants. Horace Stoneham was going to move to Los Angeles along with the Dodgers, which later became the Los Angeles Dodgers. George Christopher, in final interviews that he did with me before he died, said he used to fly on the weekends to New York to sit down and try to persuade Horace Thornham to move to San Francisco. And, of course, he had to drink a lot of scotch. We will have that rare audio interview probably Friday on. We're not going to be around Monday. Major. But anyway, we will have that fascinating interview. But isn't it interesting that people who are in the media, mainstream, or what I call the commercial and the alternative media, don't even remember this, even bring up this history of this great civic sauce. And, of course, the New York Giants and the San Francisco Giants. And Christopher was one of the first people to promote equal access to housing for all ethnic groups. And there was racial discrimination, what they call restrictive covenants, very famous in Illinois, that allowed realtors to discriminate against buyers who were not Caucasian or who were not white. So it's Christopher got that turned around in San Francisco and helped blacks get equal opportunity in hiring, jobs, and in housing. No other mayor has done as much in a shorter time as George Christopher did in his lifetime. He died in 2000. We have an audio, video interview, final interviews that we did with him. Now, the other question we want to bring up is, that we are hearing some of the morons in the media are saying that gay judges, that's not an issue anymore. Well, that's BS. Here in San Francisco, we have the notorious Boulain Bradstreet scandal, where Judge Boulain, who was from Texas, a lesbian, and her lover at the time was Angela Bradstreet, who's British. She was a what they call a in Britain they have the two systems, the barrister and the investigative type, who go in and prepare a case, much of similar stuff that I do here or have done, and the barrister argues the case, the other party prepares the case for the barrister. Now, Bradstreet came to the United States, running the real estate recordations. She moves in with one woman, becomes it's on her real estate, and then they break up. She gets a piece of real estate and moves on. She was in a deal here in San Francisco with Anne Boleyn, and now it's not spelled that way. Anyway, Lynn and them were breaking up, and so they couldn't sell their house. So James Hormel, who promotes gay political agendas, and secretly bought the house from the two, and they split up. Boulain, Herway, and Bradstreet hooked up with another woman and moved to Marin County. Hormel then turned around and gave the house to his lover that he's dumping or splitting up. Now, what's interesting about that, there's nothing wrong with it, face of that. However, Hormel was applying to become ambassador to Luxembourg, and he was supposed to put on all his economic interest statements that he filed with the federal government, all his real estate, all his transactions. And he omitted two things. One was that he had bought this house and then gave it to his ex-lover. The other one was that he claimed that his media propaganda claimed that he donated $250,000 to the San Francisco Library to have the gay, lesbian, historical section. Well, what Hormel actually did was that he bought construction bonds, $250,000. So these are some of the big lies that are told by the propaganda. And, of course, you know, it's paper trail. Now, and we're going to end early. I have a medical thing to deal with. And so we will be back Friday at 3:30, maybe even longer. So while with that, we may as well, this is also Arturo Toscanini's, this is the time of his birth. And what Toscanini did during World War II, he did do this thing called the Hymn of Nations for the Office of our propaganda entity. Everybody had one, the British, the Germans, the Americans. And he did this thing called a Hymn of Nations. And it was originally written by Giuseppe Verdi at the turn of the century, but they added the because we were allies with Russia during World War II, they rearranged it and added the communist anthem, the Internationale. We're going to play that. And then we'll get into Toscanini and Mussolini. Mussolini, and I think this is very important. Toscanini was one of a truly great opera symphony conductors in entire history. Music. He ranks up there with Wilhelm Furtwängler, Felix Weingartner, people like that, Otto Klemperer. And I think this is very interesting how he explains it. Mussolini.
And to think that I was once a friend of the great delinquents.
The great who?
I got to know Mussolini. I was even on his electoral slate. I supported him.
You supported Mussolini?
Say, yes, me. And it was a total disaster.
Remember, at the time, Mussolini was left of the Socialist Party. Very different from when he created fascism.
Listen, I repented even before that criminal came to power in 22. 3 years before that, Walter and I attended one of his secret meetings. And Mussolini was speaking. He came over and tried to get me to join.
Mon Dieu.
Then...
Marinetti.
Marinetti.
Poeta futurista.
Si. He came over later. He persuaded me to put my name to the slate.
Seriously?
Yes. Everyone was surprised. People telephoned me. What? Toscanini with Mussolini? Yes, Toscanini with Mussolini. I'm sick of hearing everybody to talk, and doing nothing about it.
When that opportunity swung from left to right, I openly turned against it. What a monster he was. As long as I was at La Scala, I refused to hang those mandatory portraits of Mussolini or the king. What a horrible period.
The fascist, you said, that Papa was on Patreon. After all he'd done for Italy.
I had conducted the Anthem Italian many times during the Great War to raise money for the war effort. And I conducted patriotic music with a military band on the front in 1917. We played on Monte Santo under enemy fire. But I would never play the Antifascista if my life depended on it. I never feared death. I think about it every day. With the same.
Well, we're going to end early, and we'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, and we'll have with Christopher Howie Lord, the New York Giant, San Francisco. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. By the way, today is, we should do this. Paul Robeson's, I think his birthday today. He was a black, great football player. He studied law, went to work for a law firm, and they put him in, literally in the back of the office. But he had this great voice. He made the mistake of getting involved with the communists. And at the wrong time, he even went to Russia to sing for the workers during the 30s. But he had his passport lifted, but I think he had some children still around today. But here he is speaking on Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, the genius that he was, seemed to foreshadow and understand many of the problems that have since arisen in our world, perhaps were present then. First, I would say that here is a part which has dignity for the Negro actor. Often we don't get those opportunities. And I would say that my people will be very proud of my or any other Negro actor appearing in such a part. I think also that to me Othello is one of a different culture. Shakespeare insists that he's African. There's some argument whether he's the word black and the fact that he's from Africa is very clear to me. And that Shakespeare posed this problem of a, say, black man in a white system. Come over from America, and we like to say pass and chance and do for the morning dew. And I happened to pick up an old script of Shakespeare, and the dew was very clear. It was D-I-E-W, and it was not chance, C-H-A-U-N-C-E, so it was dew, like in lieu of, and chance and dance. Very, very Shakespearean. And one terrible, difficult sound was my, almost at the beginning of the play, my services, which I have done the scenery, my services, services. I would say my service. I had to work on that very. But later, I took some special work at the University of London, and also in my university days, I majored in English, and I have records from the earliest time, from time of Anglo-Saxons, matter of fact, through Chaucer. And of course, since I worked on my songs with Roger Quilter, and I would have to use the role, I couldn't walk out here and say, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine. It's got to be very, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine.
That was the great Paul Robeson. If you'd stuck to theater, movies, he was a great actor. Stayed out of politics, he wouldn't have had the problems he had. But even though he made a mistake in getting involved with communists, his art lives on, his reputation. So we're with our usual politics and poker, and we'll be back Friday at 3:30.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a king.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Dallas, politics or poker? Which is more important?
Paratrade.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
This is Paul Brazola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS, and we'll be back Friday at 3:30. Good night.